As you notice, you see, I'm all dressed in green, which is the color of hope. See, now we're left the liturgical season until Advent. So you see, there are some weeks before we start Lent, because Lent always depends on Easter. And Easter always falls on the first Sunday after the first full moon of the vernal equinox. So that's always movable. So when you start Lent is movable. So we have a bunch of Sundays, regular time, ordinary time, until we start Lent. So this year we had 7 of them. So now we pick up with the 8th week. That's where we are now. And we'll go through this and read Mark. We're on chapter 10 already, so then we'll be picking up other readings as well, another gospel later on. And this will be interrupted by the big feast days, but the liturgical year is now under the aegis of hope. That's why we wear green. It's the sign of hope. Life. We have life. We have life that will never end. And we want to affirm that by the way we decorate the priest and the altar during this time. It's always interesting too for us in the northern hemisphere. It's also summer. So that means it gets hot and it gets tired and it gets, you see. And all of that is to help us get the picture. And that's why, as I've said often, you see, the church is not in time. Time is in the church. We are the body of Christ. And our head is in heaven, timeless. And he's here with us. So that's sort of the basis of this liturgical rhythm. And so we pick up Mark again because we're in cycle B. There's A, you could figure that out, I'll bet. There's A, B, C. And so this is G, Matthew, Mark, Luke. So John doesn't have a part in the cycle because he dominates the great festal seasons, right? We just finished going almost right through John during Easter, right? We had Acts, which is the story of the risen Christ in his church. That's why we have Acts. And then we have John, because he's the gospel of life, the risen life. And so now we're back to, we call it ordinary time. It's not ordinary at all. And so we start. So we're in. We start, just so happens, that on this 8th week, we start the letter of Peter, which is a beautiful letter. And he starts off, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." He praises the Father, who in his great mercy gave us a new birth through a living hope. We were dead. We had nothing to look forward to but death. Now look what we have. We have eternal life to look forward to. We have the presence of the Lord Christ with us. We have him in the Blessed Sacrament, who in his great mercy gave us a new birth to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. You know, Paul says in Philippians, our citizenship is in heaven. And it's from there that we await the Savior to come and so transform us so that our bodies are like his glorious body forever. That's the inheritance that's imperishable and kept for us, you see? Those of us who by the power of God are safeguarded through faith. Peter really knew how to put things together, right? Probably he dictated this and somebody fixed up the Greek, because the Greek is wonderful. Whereas in 2 Peter, it's great, it's the word of God, but the Greek is not smart. To a salvation that is ready to be revealed in the final time. In this you rejoice. Although now for a little time you may have to suffer through various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that is perishable, even though tested by fire, may prove for the praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. When he comes, you come with me. You were faithful. You believed. Even when things were difficult, you believed. Even when the whole church is fighting for, you know, survival in a way right now, you believed. When everybody said, oh, it's out of date, it's out, you believed. Even when they said, we're going to put you in jail, you believed. You see? And now it describes this. How powerful is this faith? This is one of the greatest lines in the whole Bible, I think. Although you have not seen him, you love him. Isn't that remarkable? We never saw him. Yet we love him. We want to be near him. We want to feed on his body and blood. You have not seen him, but you love him. And even though you don't see him now, yet you believe in him. And you rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy as you attain the goal of faith, the salvation of your souls. So why are these Christians so happy? They know where they're going. They know that there is kept for us an incredible treasure, absolutely divine life. And it all flows from baptism. And so this is probably reflecting Peter's baptismal homilies in Rome, this letter. And you can see how beautiful it is and how it starts. Although you have not seen him, you love him. Isn't that remarkable? Isn't that remarkable? That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Riches. We don't have time to go through it, but what is that? Self-reliance. You got a lot of money, you think you're fine. Stock market crashes, you're not fine. That's not where our treasure is. So this young fellow comes along, and Jesus says, give up your self-reliance and stick with me. And he says, too much, I can't do that. I can't do that, that's too much. So he walks away. Jesus turns around to the other guys and says, do you know how hard it is for a rich man to even get in? And they all get scared. Not that they were very rich, but they're thinking, you know, we want a little bit of money. I don't want to give up the whole fishing business. I mean, you know. And he's saying, forget it. You rely on the Father. Isn't that what I'm doing? And so they get really scared. Then who can be saved? Jesus says, don't worry. You stick with me, you're going to be saved. I will help you. Your biggest obstacle is not just the money, it's the self-reliance. I'm at peace because I got money. Woo. So then you lose your money? Are you at peace? You see, this gospel is very liberating. We got to get going, and we have to, so that people can get out to the clinic and pray. So let's stand.